Okay, I'm going to read one last section to you. I'm going to read you parts of number 10, the Purabeda Sutta. And here is another important strand in the fourth chapter. Here, somebody asks the Buddha, seeing how, behaving how, is one said to be at peace? In other words, what's it like to be enlightened? And the Buddha gives a fairly long reply. And in a way, Saddhatissa entitles this sutta Qualities of the Muni, Qualities of the Sage. And I think he's quite right. This is a kind of description of what it's like to be enlightened. It's an early Buddhanusati. It's an early recollection of the Buddha, the Buddha's qualities. And if you recollect these qualities, if you recite them to yourself over and over again and open yourself up to them, you become like that. You take on those qualities. You become more and more like the Muni, the Buddha. So, seeing how, behaving how, is one said to be at peace. Without anger, without trembling, not boasting, without remorse, speaking intelligently, unperturbed. He indeed is a sage of restrained speech. Free from attachment with regard to the future, not grieving over the past, he sees seclusion in the midst of sensory contacts. He can't be led in terms of views. Withdrawn, not deceitful, not covetous, not avaricious, not insolent, not offensive. He does not engage in divisive speech. Not intoxicated with enticements, nor given to pride. He's gentle, quick-witted. He neither attaches himself nor makes an effort to detach himself. So here's a line which is very similar to some of the Perfection of Wisdom teachings. He neither attaches himself nor makes an effort to detach himself. Another translator translates this line as, he is not impassioned or dispassioned. This is very interesting because usually the path moves from knowledge and vision of things as they really are to dispassion. But here, he is not impassioned or dispassioned. Reminds me of another line from the Suddhatika Sutta. He is not impassioned by passion. He is not attached to the passionless. I'll come back to this. Not in hopes of material gain does he take on the training. When, without material gain, he isn't upset. He is not opposed to craving. Nor is he greedy for flavours. Not opposed to craving. Well, what was the Kama Sutta all about then? He is not opposed to craving, nor is he greedy for flavours. What does this mean? Come back to that. Equanimous, always mindful. He doesn't think of himself as equal, superior, or inferior in the world. No swellings of pride are his. He for whom there is no state of dependence, when, on knowing the Dharma, he's independent. In whom no craving is found for becoming or not becoming. Indifferent to sensual pleasures. Actually, the word indifferent is a translation of upekkha. So you could just as easily say equanimous towards sensual pleasures. He is said to be at peace. with nothing at all to tie him down. One who's crossed over attachment. He has no children, no cattle, no fields, no land. In him, you can't pin down what's embraced or rejected. Very interesting, is it? Neither embraced nor rejected. Another possible translation of that line is, in him you can't pin down what's self or opposed to self. So far then we've had, he neither attaches himself nor makes an effort to detach himself, or the other translation, he is not impassioned nor dispassioned. We've had, he is not opposed to craving, nor is he greedy for flavours. In him, you can't pin down what's embraced or rejected, or what's self or opposed to self. So these teachings, although many of them are very down-to-earth, dualistic teachings, do this, don't do that, don't crave, don't get attached, etc., etc., some of them are very subtle. Some of them, you could say, are non-dual teachings. Usually we think of right view and wrong view. You have to go from wrong view to right view. Here, no views. Attachment, detachment are opposites. Throughout most of this text, they are seen as opposites. Attachment, you get rid of, and you go to detachment. But here in this text, the Buddha is neither attached nor makes an effort to detach himself. Same with passion, dispassion. Same with craving, not craving, etc. And it reminds me of another line in the Ratnaguna Samjayagata, change and no change, suffering and happiness, the self and not self, the lovely and repulsive, just one suchness in this emptiness they are. But I think an easy way of understanding this is that you've got opposites. You've got wrong views, right views, craving, no craving, etc. And the Buddhist way is to go from one opposite to the other, from craving to a state of no craving, before you reach the state of Buddhahood where craving is no longer a problem. Think of chocolate. Let's say you're one of those kinds of people, and there are those kinds of people in the world who has to have chocolate every day. I met someone just not too long ago where she said, I have to have some chocolate every day. Just imagine you're like that. And you want to free yourself of the craving of chocolate. So you stop eating chocolate. Well, for a few weeks and months, you're going to be thinking about chocolate. You're going to be opposed to chocolate. You're going to be in a kind of a battle with chocolate. But after a while, if you persist, your cravings for chocolate die away. And then you become someone who is not opposed to chocolate. Someone who neither likes chocolate nor dislikes chocolate. So I think that's the way we can understand these texts. The Buddha wants us to be happy. And the way to do that is to go from craving to non-craving. And at first there's a battle. It's difficult. It's hard. But eventually we get to this state of peace, this state of kama, which is safety and peace. So I'm just going to read you the last few lines of the text, then I'm going to finish. And I think I said already that I don't like applause, didn't I? Did I say that at the beginning? Okay, so we'll just finish with the Buddha's words. That on account of which the common people and ascetics and Brahmins might accuse him is not preferred by him. Therefore, he is not agitated in the midst of their accusations. For whom nothing in the world is his own, who doesn't grieve over what is not, who doesn't enter into things, he is said to be at peace.